Until Fisher Cats Baseball. Come together right now over me. Fisher Cats Baseball is on the air in 6 minutes. Just watch and see. Just 5 minutes to airtime. Fisher Cats Baseball airs in 5 minutes.
Impulse floating on a southbound breeze, somewhere between heaven and the tall pine trees. Hard land, I'm missing you. Guitar playing through the night, it felt pretty good and feeling all right. Good as one for the price of two.
Pre-game show is coming up. Fisher Cats Baseball in just 4 minutes.
Yeah, she's crazy about her Mercury. I'm gonna buy me a Mercury and cruise it up and down the road. Oh, I'll cruise now.
Three minutes until Fisher Cats Baseball is on the air. minutes to airtime. Fisher Cats pregame starts in 2 minutes. Just 1 minute away from Fisher Cats baseball. Fisher Cats pregame show on the Fisher Cats Radio Network starts right now. Featuring a preview of today's action, interviews, a look around the Eastern League, and more. First pitch is getting closer. Let's head out to the ballpark. Here's your host, Bob Lippman.
And hello, everybody, and welcome into Fisher Cats baseball tonight. On this Thursday night, the Fisher Cats, Gatos Ferocious de New Hampshire, will play the Reading Fightin' Phils, the Philadelphia Phillies Double-A Farm Club, Game 3 of a 6-game series. We have a 6:35 first pitch tonight here at Delta Dental Stadium, and when we get going in a few minutes, first pitch will be delivered by the right-hander C.J. Van Eyck for New Hampshire, 2-4, an ERA of 7.25. We're going to go back a couple of years to see a Fisher Cat alum make a start for Reading tonight, Max Castillo, 0-3 and an ERA of 7.94 will make the start tonight for the Fightin' Phils. Fisher Cats have come away with a pair of one-run victories to open this series. Tuesday night, 6-5 was the final. The go-ahead run for the Fisher Cats in that one was provided by Ryan McCarty, who hit a home run in the fifth inning. Last night, the Fisher Cats never trailed, although Reading did cut it to 4-3. Last night, Josh Kasevich was the offensive star. He went 2-for-3 and drove in a couple of runs to back the 3-hit performance of Adam Macko on the mound. Macko won it 5-2, and the bullpen gave manager Cesar Martin 3 scoreless innings in relief with Jimmy Burnett picking up his 4th save at the end of the game. So heading into play tonight, the Fisher Cats are 30-35. They've won 2 in a row. 5.5 out of first in the Northeast. Actually, we've fallen 6 games back because Hartford did win their game this afternoon against Harrisburg. Reading is sitting 8 games out at 28-37. If you're in the area, come on out tonight. Again, the Fisher Cats is part of Copa de la Diversión, the Latin initiative. We'll play as Gatos Ferocious de New Hampshire with the special jerseys tonight, and the Reading Fightin' Phils are in town through Sunday. If you're thinking of coming out to some games, you might want to visit nhfishercats.com for all of the latest promotions. Right on the front page, you see what's left tomorrow night. It's dodgeball night, presented by Work Ready NH, and it's an oral health challenge night brought to you by Delta Dental. We have country night and post-game fireworks on Saturday, and then on Sunday, Cancer Survivor Day. Kids run the bases on Sunday after our game. Segment 2, we'd like to introduce you to some of the members of the New Hampshire Fisher Cats baseball team. They have a new pitcher, a relatively new pitcher, in Justin Kelly. He'll be with Ian Unsworth when the pregame show continues. I'm Bob Lippman from Delta Dental Stadium. 6:35 tonight for the Fisher Cats and Phils. Our coverage continues after this.
Auto Fair is once again your partner for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. For over 30 years, Auto Fair has been a proud member of the community, supporting programs designed to improve the areas in which we live. Go to autofair.com to shop thousands of vehicles and get Auto Fair's famously low prices on every vehicle in stock. Auto Fair, 8 convenient locations and over 2,000 vehicles.
Things are getting spicy for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. On July 27th, the Cats don their new Manchester Buffalo Tender jerseys for the first time for a 6:35 first pitch against the Reading Fightin' Phils, AA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. Come out to Delta Dental Stadium to get the latest Buffalo Tenders gear in the team store, or beat the crowd and grab a jersey online at nhfishercats.com. Hope you're ready to bring the heat. Go Cats!
Join us at Delta Dental Stadium as we celebrate the 5 Ds of Dodgeball on June 21st, presented by Work Ready NH. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge your way to see the Fisher Cats take on the Reading Fightin' Phils. Delta Dental wants to reward children under 12 who brush and floss their teeth for 7 days straight with 2 free tickets. To participate, make sure to fill out the form online. For more information, visit nhfishercats.com. Go Cats!
We're back on the Fisher Cats pregame show. Ian Unsworth in the dugout, sitting down with Fisher Cats righty-reliever Justin Kelly. Justin, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course. So, you've been with the Fisher Cats now for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. How are you settling in New Hampshire?
I'm loving it, man. I think it's a pretty cool city. I've never really played in this part of the country, so I get to see a bunch of new cities, new stadiums, different teams, other affiliates I haven't played before. It's been great, and I've played with the majority of the roster I've played with, you know, in previous seasons, so to come here, it feels really familiar.
Utah guy, you said out west, and you spent your entire amateur career out there, high school ball, college ball. What made you want to stay close to home and play at the University of Utah?
Well, I mean, it was a hard thing to, you know, possibly have to pass up. I mean, I got to stay basically right in my backyard. The university's probably 30 minutes from where I grew up, and to be able to have my family there almost every weekend when we'd be at home was nice, and you know, I just couldn't pass it up. It was a great opportunity.
I read that you considered two-waying in college, so yep. pitching and then also playing the field. What kind of made you focus on pitching?
Well, I think the decision was made for me, not my decision, but I was originally committed to the College of Southern Idaho to two-way. I was going to play short and pitch, and then Utah offered me a walk-on spot the last week of my senior year. And, you know, weighed my options, and I figured, you know, why go 2 year when you can go to a 4 year Power Five school, play against the best talent in the country. And I really did want a two way, but when I got on campus in the fall, my freshman year, I think I made the right decision not even trying, because there was, you know, I saw 93 to 95 right out the gate, and I never really saw that in high school. And I was like, you know what, I'm good. I'll let those guys with the bats handle it, not me.
So you said last week of your senior year, you know, almost the end of your senior year of high school, and Utah comes calling. What were your emotions when that came around for you?
Dude, I was stoked. Like, my mom and dad were super happy. They were a big part in my decision. You know, I love the coaching staff that I worked with at the College of Southern Idaho, but at the end of the day, like, you know, being able to play in your home state with where your family is, all your friends are, and again, to have the opportunity to play in the best, at that point, you know, the best baseball talent in the country, I, you know, had a run with it.
Well, RIP to the Pac-12.
Right.
It is no more. What were some of your favorite ballparks that you played in around the Pac-12?
I mean, I remember Stanford. I went to Stanford my senior
Sunken
year.
Sunken Diamond.
Yep, beautiful there. Their campus is gorgeous. I think playing at Oregon State as well, you know, you hear all the big leaguers that have come through there, and obviously the talent they've had in the last 4 years, just, I mean, I can name probably 6 or 7 big leaguers on the roster from just my freshman season against those guys. So it was cool to be at that stadium. And USC was really nice, too. I liked USC's stadium as well.
So staying in Utah, before we even go towards the Canadians and your time there, I know you got a younger brother
yep.
who's also a baseball player.
Yep.
How does that dynamic play out when you guys are both competing against each other, but he's a bit younger than you, so you're right. going at your own levels?
Yeah, I mean, when we were younger, it was definitely more, way more competitive. It was more me versus him, not so much working together, but you know, I've got 4.5 years on him, so I was able to get through high school. Right when he was starting high school, I could try to share some knowledge with him. And then I get into college. I'm learning, you know, the new dynamics of college and how those things operate. And I can try to share that info with him. So as we got older, as I left college, he was just getting into it, and I got into pro ball. And it's been a lot of fun, just more working together and more cooperative in a way. And bouncing ideas off each other, and it's been great.
The Kelly Brain Trust, that's
yeah.
what I call it.
Yep.
Ian Unsworth with Justin Kelly on the Fisher Cats pregame show. So now let's talk about your pro career.
Definitely.
Signed with the Jays after college, and you spent a good amount of time in Vancouver, won a Northwest League championship last year, and you're one of the most reliable options at the back end of the bullpen. What kind of mentality does it take to snap out of it in the eighth or ninth
yeah.
and come in immediately in a high-pressure situation?
Well, when I first got there, I was filling kind of all sorts of roles. I was a long relief guy, first guy out. I was a setup guy at one point, and then I had the opportunity to start closing as other guys like TJ Brock and Mason Fluharty got moved up. I kind of got filled into that role and struggled a little bit early on with it, but that's, you know, that's how you gain experience as you go through those kind of things. So. Really grateful for the opportunity with that coaching staff down there and all those guys. And, you know, when the phone rings and your name's the one they call, you got to lock in. And, you know, it's a great, great experience up there.
And you get Joel Bonnet again now
yep.
as your pitching coach.
That's right.
What's your favorite thing about working with Joel?
Joel is very good with the analytical side of things. You know, the scouting reports he gives us, the rundowns on the lineup and who can run, who can't, and how we attack the lineup. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone better to work with when it comes to that.
Well, Justin Kelly gets the data from Joel Bonnet, but he's got the stuff on the mound to keep him moving up the levels of the Blue Jay system. Justin, thanks for your time.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll be back in a moment on the Fisher Cats pregame show. Starting lineups and first pitch just around the corner.
At Northeast Delta Dental, we love to see people smile. And as the leading provider of quality dental coverage for Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, we're committed to helping entire communities smile. Whether it's through education, supporting our veterans, or giving and volunteering, we're helping to make our communities even stronger. Learn more about Northeast Delta Dental at nedelta.com. We think you'll find a lot to smile about.
The New Hampshire Fisher Cats return to Delta Dental Stadium for Independence Day weekend. Come watch the future Boston Red Sox take on your Fisher Cats as the Portland Sea Dogs are in town for July 4th, 5th, and 6th, all featuring post-game Mega Blast Atlas fireworks. Call our box office about the All-American Buffet for July 4th and 5th at 603-606-4141. More online at nhfishercats.com. Go Cats!
Let's head back to the game on the Fisher Cats Radio Network.
All right, almost ready for baseball tonight. Fisher Cats have taken the field. They'll play the Reading Fightin' Phils. CJ Van Eyck on the mound. Ian Unsworth will have the first pitch when we come back on the Fisher Cats Radio Network.
And we're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Mmm, best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Fisher Cats Baseball, presented by Auto Fair at Delta Dental Stadium, is your affordable, ferocious, fun destination. Free food and four tickets start at $60, courtesy of Coca-Cola. Don't miss the future Blue Jays and a whole season's worth of action. Fireworks, home runs, hot dogs, and even more family fun. The Fisher Cats are New Hampshire's best entertainment value. Visit nhfishercats.com for tickets today. Go Cats!
It's time for New Hampshire Fisher Cats Baseball on the Fisher Cats Radio Network. The New Hampshire Fisher Cats have been proud AA partners of the Toronto Blue Jays since 2004. 20 years of Fisher Cats baseball continues in 2024. Now, let's head out to the ballpark for the call of the game. Here's Ian Unsworth and Bob Lippman.
Just as C.J. Van Eyck was beginning his warm-up tosses, we had a lightning flash, and the skies have opened up here at Delta Dental Stadium. What a way to welcome you to the broadcast. Fisher Cats Baseball is brought to you by Northeast Delta Dental. With individual and family plans from Northeast Delta Dental, you get the same dental benefits offered by employee group plans. You can count on us to be there with the dentist you want and the services you need. Protect your dental health and your overall health through valuable dental coverage and regular dental checkups. Enroll in your choice of plans at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And we were, Ian Unsworth's right alongside, we were here ready. We had the anthem. C.J. Van Eyck is on the mound warming up. All of a sudden, I look up, there's a flash of lightning. Everyone goes, ooh. And then the skies opened up.
We weren't supposed to get this rain, Bob, until 7:30, 8 o'clock. You and I both thought there was the chance we get four innings, five innings in, complete the game. But I think the hope is this is what we saw last night, and it will come and go rather quickly. Last night, only a 30-minute delay, but it's going to be really tough for C.J. Van Eyck. Threw all of his warm-up pitches, was hyped up to get on the mound and shed some of that bad luck he's had recently, and then you get in this impediment.
Yeah, the difference between last night and tonight. Last night we were prepared for it. We got the tarp on the field. Right now it's pouring here at Delta Dental Stadium.
Yeah, we can't even have the windows open.
They're just beginning to unravel the tarp here, so that's going to mean that it's going to be a little bit of extra time in order to try to get everything settled in. Well, hi. Good
hey,
evening.
Hey, Bob. How's it going? Well, let's kind of take you through what we're looking at. The Fisher Cats, Reading 28 and 37. The Fisher Cats, 30 and 35. We're going to do this thing podcast style for a couple minutes. Windows are closed. The TARP team is on the field. We thank them for their help. They're getting drenched. The skies have opened up rather quickly at Delta Dental Stadium. But Reading 28 and 37, New Hampshire 30 and 35, and elsewhere around the Eastern League, key matchups are being played. And in Harrisburg, have already been played. At noon, Hartford beat Harrisburg 5-4. And Bob, you did the tiebreaker math earlier today. Hartford is at the top of the Eastern League, but it's Binghamton who, if things play out with every team winning, Binghamton might overcome Hartford and Portland with their tiebreakers.
Yeah, how about that? Binghamton owns the tiebreakers over both Hartford and Portland. They start play tonight, two games out of first place. Well, actually, 2.5, right? Because Hartford has already won today. If the Yard Goats keep winning, then the division is going to be theirs. Not easy. They're playing the first place team in the other division. Harrisburg does own the tiebreakers over both Erie and Akron, the two teams that they're battling with to try to win the Southwest Division first half in the Eastern League.
Harrisburg at 37 and 28. Erie 34 and 29, Akron 35 and 30, them both two games behind. Bob is taking a picture of the field. We can't even see it anymore. Our windows are shellacked with rain. The Apple forecast says light rain is expected to stop in 1 minute. Well, that's nice.
Light rain?
I don't think so.
So we're just asking our crew to hang out by the tarp.
Let's see if this goes by quickly.
Anyway, we are getting drenched. At least we're not. The field is.
Not, yeah.
And we will see. Right now, the game is in delay. We don't have a start time for you as of yet. All we have to tell you right now is that the game may or may not be resumed tonight or a later date. We don't know. So stick with us on the Fisher Cats Radio Network. We'll step aside. We'll give you Around the Nest again. If you missed any of our coverage last night, you could tune in to Tyler Zickel and the rest of the Toronto Blue Jays minor league broadcasters, including our very own Chris Jared, to learn about what's going on up and down the Blue Jays system. So we'll hear from Tyler Zickel and the rest of the Around the Nest crew. Hopefully, we don't have to go further than that in this delay. But, again, check out the Fisher Cats social media pages, Fisher Cats on Twitter, Fisher Cats on Instagram, New Hampshire Fisher Cats on Facebook. You'll find the latest updates there as to when we're playing or if we're playing. Right now, as we've said, we unfortunately don't know. So with Bob Lippman, Ian Unsworth stepping aside on the Fisher Cats Radio Network, we'll leave you with Tyler Zickel. Very good hands, very capable hands of Tyler Zickel and the Around the Nest crew. And if there's any update, we'll jump back in and let you know. All right, chat in a moment.
Friday, June 7th, 2024, as we talk to you for another edition of Around the Nest, the Blue Jays minor league podcast, where we get everybody together to chirp away about what's going on in the Blue Jays minor league ladder. Tyler Zickel from High A Vancouver joining you from Everett, Washington, where the Seas are on the road, and a full nest today, but we will start at the top. Pat Malacaro, terrific to see you, my friend. Welcome back to the nest. We missed you in the last edition as you toured all over Western New York taking care of business. Good to see you, and good to get some updates from that top level of the ladder. Hello, my friend.
Hi, Tyler. Great to see you and everybody else this week. And yeah, looking forward to chatting with you about the team that set some ups and downs, to be honest, now 30-30 on the season as we record this. And, you know, it's been some, you know, ups and some pretty big downs as well. And, you know, from the professional and the team and personal aspect of the game. So there's been a lot going on with this team for over the last couple of weeks.
I'm glad you brought up the record, because at 30-30, as we talk today, I think that's, in fact, the worst, I'm using air quotes for the audio-only folks, record that the Blue Jays AAA team has had since the season began. It's been an emotional few weeks. It's been heavy. There's been some tough games. There have been guys who are starting to figure it out. We've got the Aaron Sanchez story to talk about as well. But just from that 30,000-foot view, Pat, and before, of course, we get whatever Peyton Henry updates you're comfortable with sharing right now, just take the temperature of this club as they ride the wave of this middle of the season.
I think this is kind of where we maybe expected the team to be right now. There's a lot of prospects, and even a lot of them are hurt. Chad Dallas is on the injured list. Leo Jimenez on the injured list. Damiano Parmigiani down in Dunedin right now. So a lot of the guys that you kind of expected to be part of the Bison's regular roster, whether it be the rotation, the defense, the offense, they haven't been available to the team over the last handful of weeks. So since the last time we talked, that's been maybe the biggest story of all the injuries. There's eight players currently on the injured list for Buffalo, and even a couple of guys that are just dealing with nagging bumps and bruises that may not have been available the last couple of days for Casey Candel and Donnie Murphy to pencil in the lineup. So, you know, it's that. It's also, you know, what's going to happen with some of the guys that are now playing so well. I mean, Nathan Lucas is hitting .333. Spencer Horwitz, .320, .330 batting average, and gets on base every single night with walks and extra base hits. So, you know, that's part of the story as well. Is there have been some good personal moments in terms of Addison Barger making his major league debut since the last time we talked. So all that kind of brought into the equation. I think this team is probably maybe a few wins behind where we expected they'd be, but I don't think anybody expected Buffalo to be like Omaha right now, or even like Syracuse, that has such a veteran heavy team with potential options for New York or Kansas City, but there's no room in the big league. So they're going to hit well and pitch well at AAA. It's kind of where the Bisons are in the first half.
Taking a look at some of those International League stats, just kind of kicking around the stat portal this morning as I was doing, the numbers on offense are really promising for the Herd in International League action. They have the highest OBP in the circuit, the second best batting average, the fifth best OPS. They've scored 338 runs, which is the third most in the league as well. So the offense still continuing to post, even though some of those contributors are either hurt, but then when you got guys like Nathan Lucas and Spencer Horwitz, as you mentioned, that's going to carry the statistic load. So to get a little more specific on Lucas and Horwitz, Pat, Nathan had was it a six-hit game? I certainly know it was five hits, but yeah, six-hit game a few weeks ago. We know what Spencer Horwitz can do. He seems like he's bubbling, ready to make it back to the big leagues when that roster spot opens up. From your perch in the press box, what does Nathan Lucas do so well every night?
I think just everything. And I said this to Blake Murphy a little bit earlier. Sorry to name drop on you here in the show. But no, I was talking to him on the fan. And I think Nathan Lucas is just a good guy that guys like Stuart Baroa, Cam Eden can learn from. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he comes from that Tampa Bay Rays mold where I know he was drafted by Cleveland and eventually found his way to Tampa and the Blue Jays organization. But he's a guy that knows to play to his strengths. He's going to just give you the max effort every game. He's a former Bison team MVP in 2022, where he hit right around 300. And everyone was so excited for him to go to the big leagues and break camp with the Blue Jays last year. And, you know, it's a disappointment to come back to Buffalo this year. Let's be honest. I mean, you spend most of last year in the big leagues, and again, you're on the cut line like you were in 2022. This year, you have an option, so your option to Buffalo. It can go one of two ways. And I think Nathan Lucas has gone about it the right way, and he's just gone out. He's put up a good season offensively. I don't think he gets enough credit for the defense that he plays because of his size and maybe some of the flashiness in a good way of the other players on the team, like Cam Eden, Stuart Baroa, even Will Robertson, Addison Barger in the outfield. Lucas has played center when needed. He'll play right. I mean, he can play all over pretty much any of the three positions that you need him in the outfield. And his arm is accurate. It's a strong arm. But again, when you talk about guys like Barger or Robertson, who have maybe better numbers in terms of, you know, how hard they throw the ball, it gets kind of lost in the shuffle. So I think for Nathan Lucas, you're talking about a guy who is showing some of the young players the right way to play the game and how to fundamentally play the game well, which I think is something that, look, let's be honest, when players go through the organizations, not just this one, everyone, so quickly, that can get lost in the shuffle at times, and I think it's a good chance to reset here at AAA.
Talk about some of those young players, a couple of guys who were just added to the Buffalo roster over the last couple of weeks, Riley Tirada and Michael Turconi. Tirada specifically, his first International League home run just the other day, a guy we really enjoyed in High A Vancouver. I know Chris Jarrett can speak to that in Double A as well over the last season. But from Riley Tirada and Michael Turconi's perspective, that is, this is what's going to need to happen when some of those other guys get to the big leagues, as those AAA players who have been playing so well get promoted. Guys from AA New Hampshire are now going to come up and have to fill into those roles.
Absolutely. And a funny little story about Riley Tirada, when he made his AAA debut, was the back half of a doubleheader from a game that was suspended the night before, got the start against St. Paul in game two, had his first AAA hit, and his parents, not that South Bend, Indiana is right around the corner, but they drove in from South Bend. They drove overnight, got to Buffalo, saw game two, and with a little negotiation with a fan, Tirada's first hit landed, the ball landed back in the possession of him, and he gave it to his dad. So I saw him in the parking lot after the game. They were getting in the car and going right back home to South Bend, but they had that first AAA hit baseball with him as well. So a cool moment for him. And you're right, you know, that first AAA home run, Michael Turconi coming up from AA, and somebody was drafted as a shortstop out of Wake Forest, you know, an athlete, and maybe not the biggest size, but can get around the diamond and all the positions really well. We've seen him in a couple of different spots now. So I think, yeah, as the Bisons graduate some players to the big leagues, and maybe there's some holes that Toronto needs to fill with guys down here at AAA, they're more than capable of coming in and stepping into that role.
How about Yariel Rodriguez? Some promising signs as he continues to build back, and somebody who that the Blue Jays already know that they can use and ready to use him when available soon.
Yeah, I think it's just a question of, look, you add into the story that he didn't really pitch last year outside of a couple of appearances in the WBC. So anytime you have an injury, you obviously want to take it as slow as possible. Look, you're not going to keep someone for 30 days down a rehab assignment just to keep him for 30 days. But I think his situation is a little unique in that when you have this type of injury, where you're dealing with a bad back and a sore back, make sure it's good to go, because you're going to have a workload at the big league level that's more than what you're used to, your body's used to over the last 18 months. So I don't think this is out of the ordinary or anything, other than Rodriguez has gone down here. He's come back and pitched really well. And, you know, somebody that maybe we didn't expect to make it to the big leagues as quick as he did in April because of how well he pitched in Worcester. So, you know, going back to Toronto, whether it be this weekend, next week, you know, however long it is, because a rehab assignment is closing in on the back half of those 30 days now. You know, it's for Rodriguez. I think just continue to throw the way he is, because the stuff is right back there again.
And lastly, Pat, before we let you go to get ready for your game tonight in Lehigh Valley, a Peyton Henry update. Of course, everybody within the Blue Jays atmosphere in the Blue Jays universe was aware of what went down the other day in Syracuse. As scary as a moment as it can get on a baseball field, we are reminded of the realities of this game, and it is quite dangerous, even though these guys play it at the highest level and anything can happen. So what can you share from your experience from that day and how Peyton is doing currently? We've seen some promising news that the Bisons have shared of late.
Yeah, he's doing much better now, and thanks for bringing this up. And yeah, of course, you know, a situation like that happens, and it kind of reminds you, you know, how fragile things can be at times. And luckily for Peyton Henry, pretty soon after he was taken to Upstate University Hospital in Syracuse, he was communicating with the team, messages back and forth, letting everyone know that he was doing better. But I think it's one thing to get a message from Peyton Henry, but it was another thing on Saturday morning, when everyone walked into the clubhouse, or Saturday afternoon, and he was there to say hi to everyone quickly. That family came into town to help him out as well. So they were with him, and his ability to say hi to the guys quickly, I think that above anything else, eased a lot of people's worries and concerns that, yes, it's one thing to get a message that I'm doing better, thanks for everybody checking in. But to see him the next day was definitely a welcome sight. And, you know, hopefully it's a sight that we see again very soon when hopefully he rejoins the Bisons roster sooner rather than later.
Promising news indeed. Well, Pat, as we say goodbye to you, my friend, or more specifically in Lehigh Valley, arrivederci. How can we stay up to date with all things Herd and all things Pat?
Yeah, find us on social media at Buffalo Bisons, on X or Instagram, you know, Facebook and all those, facebook.com/Buffalo Bisons. You can follow me at PatWGR as well. Looking forward to seeing everyone down at Salem Field, hopefully for July 3rd. I know we're home. Blue Jays play during the day on Canada Day. We play at night. So I know some folks, they want to make the doubleheader that day. You can cross the border and do that. So a lot of games to be played still with that second half, and a lot to talk about with you coming in the second half of the season.
Pat, great stuff as always. Go get those Iron Pigs. Cheers to you, my friend.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks, everyone.
Pat Malacaro from AAA Buffalo. Always great stuff from the top level of the Blue Jays minor league ladder. And now we go one rung lower to AA New Hampshire. Chris Jarrod coming to us from the Tooth Club Ned, downtown Manchester, New Hampshire, AA Fisher Cats, as the Cats 25 and 29 talking on this Friday, June 7th. How are you, buddy?
Oh, doing great, Zick. Big thanks to everyone signing on here. We're doing the last couple of weeks remotely, so been a challenge, but definitely ready to. We're going to answer the 2-week road trip with a 2-week homestand. So ready to get baseball back here in Club Ned.
Yeah, those 2 weeks away certainly can add a little bit of a wrinkle. That was the case for the Canadians before they got home last week, and they took 4 of 5 from the Tri-City Dust Devils. We've seen some good stuff from the Cats, Chris, individually and as a team. We've had some great individual pitching performances. The offense has scored a glut of runs in a number of games of late, and there have been some late action as well, including a big Devontae Brown 2-run home run in the top of the ninth. We'll get to all of that, but from your 30,000-foot view, what's been going on in the Eastern League?
Well, I think these guys, Tyler, they're starting to get comfortable with the level. You know, early on, there were a lot of close losses and a lot of big wins. That was a narrative back in April and May, and we're still seeing that. The Devontae Brown home run that you mentioned, that was New Hampshire's first win this season when they were trailing after 7, let alone 8 innings. So that was great to see some fight and to continue to see some pop out of Devontae Brown, a guy that went undrafted. So, you know, it's unfortunately the Cats have not made up any ground since going on this road trip, but I think that's better said when you look at Akron and Erie, two really good clubs in the Southeast, two really good organizations too in Cleveland and Detroit, that you can expect some veteran arms. You can expect, you know, young promising talent around the positional players too. So it's been great to see as of right now, as we record this on Friday, that they're above 500 on this road trip, where you go into it thinking, if you can maybe play 500 baseball, you'll be happy with how Akron and Erie have pitched this season. That didn't really bode well just from a perspective and a numbers game when you're looking at how New Hampshire has lost close games this year. But the starting pitching has really started to kind of find their way, as you've mentioned, Adam Macko, the Friday guy tonight. So, you know, it's these things that they've just continued to float around and unfortunately haven't really made up any ground in the standings. But if this team can finish the first half strong and start the second half with some momentum, with how they've been in so many of the games this year, about more than half of the games that they've played in have been decided by 3 runs or less. So if you continue to build that chemistry, that experience at the AA mark, you win a couple of games here to start the second half strong. Who knows how we'll look in August and September.
talking about starting pitching, Mike Dominguez was named the Eastern League Pitcher of the Week. I think that was for last week. We've seen a good outing from Trenton Wallace recently. Devereaux Harrison with a quality start. You talk about Adam Macko. So those starting pitchers for pitching coach Joel Bonin, they're starting to find that horse-like mentality here as the season gets to the middle part of the summer.
Yeah, and that's, you know, looking at the high A numbers for a lot of these guys that were coming in for the first time at the double A mark, and then getting guys back healthy again, like CJ Van Eyck and Trent Palmer, who's still really trying to go through it. But, you know, Adam Macko just continues to be impressive, where he has started to hit a bit of a stride. He's got all three wins here going back in his last five starts on the season. So I think as they continue to get comfortable, they'll figure things out. Michael Dominguez finally gets his first win of the season, and what was his first decision, which is crazy to believe, towards the back end of May there. And so great to see him get some league honors. The next time out, it was a difficult go where it's been the walks. And for a lot of these guys experiencing that level jump where bats just aren't swinging and missing at a lot of the pitches that they were in high A, where, you know, Macko can command with the curveball. He's figuring out now how to work that into one strike, two strike counts more than just his constant put out pitch. So it's been great to see them start to heat up a little bit. And then, of course, that, you know, it goes without saying that that eases the pressure off of the bullpen where they can come in and continue to be effective.
On the offensive side of things, as we wake up today, Josh Kasevich leading the club with a 300 average. Garrett Spain providing plenty of pop. We got to learn a lot about Spainer's big fly potential last year in the season prior. He's got 8 home runs. Kasevich leading the team with 33 RBI. And then you've got Devontae Brown on the speed stats, 8 steals and 34 runs scored. But a guy with plenty of pop, and certainly someone who it continues to boggle my mind how nobody wanted to draft the pride of Noonan, Georgia, out of a big school. He went to NC State, yet everybody passed on Devontae, and I think he plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. We certainly got a taste of that last year. He was a huge factor in Vancouver's regular season success.
Yeah, could be. You know, and just when you talk to him too, he doesn't really have that edge to him where, maybe that's what he's thinking between the ears, but he definitely won't let you know it. Just seems like a really even-keeled guy, and he's always got a smile when he's walking around the, batting practice and whatnot. So it's great to see those guys where you are able to have those and produce those in the organization. So that's got to be a feel-good piece for Toronto where you look at that. But just chatting with some of the Blue Jays personnel, Josh Kasevich is a surprise, which is crazy to believe because, you know, a high draft pick kid, really highly touted out of Oregon, but with how he's been able to consistently do it in his first jump from high A to double A, I think that definitely caught the organization, kind of caught them aback a bit where they were able to see his success. And again, as you mentioned, being able to do it night in, night out. So with this team, when you've got these guys, they can hit that stretch. They can explode for big wins. The magic number this season has been 4. A crazy difference when New Hampshire scores 4 runs or more compared to 3 runs or less. And it's just an offense that they can explode for big 4-run, 5-run innings that we've seen night in and night out to get some lopsided box scores. But then they'll trade in the next night where we saw a 9-1 loss the other night in Erie. So trying to find that consistency with this team. And again, they're still finding that out, and it's good to see them find those success. And then in last night's game on Thursday, win a close game, what felt like a low scoring game for a long time. But again, that magic number of 4, the Cats get the win 4-3. So it's pieces that they're continuing to figure things out. And then I think really one of the luxuries for this team is, as we mentioned, you just heard Pat talk about the logjam. Now there's some opportunities in Buffalo where in April and May there were not. So you have a guy like Phil Clark that likely should be in Buffalo or a AAA presence. You know, he comes back here to New Hampshire for another season and does not wear that well, or doesn't wear it on the field where you can maybe, I guess, expect some fatigue for a guy that feels like he should be in a higher mark. Phil's been amazing this season and a guy that does not strike out. And a lot of catchers have really good feel of the zone. And so mixing that veteran personality with some of these younger guys has worked out really well.
Lastly, Chris, we got to talk about Eric Pardinho, the pride of Bastos, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Somebody who has been on a long and winding road. And how appropriate here on a Blue Jays minor league podcast, talking about a guy who has been on countless podcasts in terms of being talked about as a potential high prospect. He got a nice signing bonus out of Brazil. Injuries, lack of performance, inconsistencies, they've all plagued him. But Eric, this year and in the second half of last year, really in Vancouver, is when he started to turn the corner. But it's all on display here in 2024 in Double A.
It is, and still has not allowed an earned run since going all the way back into late April. A guy that you can bring out and have in the back end of your bullpen, and just another guy, too, that he's able to deal with the runners in scoring position and walks that he gives up time and time again. No earned run streak was a little sketchy in those last couple of goes, but that split finger fastball that he really drives with has been the piece that I think that he's been able to keep guys off balance, and he keeps it nice and low too for fastball looking hitters. So just another guy. And again, as you mentioned, was a top five prospect a number of years ago. And then as you continue to progress through the list of 22, 23, 24, you no longer see Eric Pardinho's name, and I think that's going to change moving forward. He just has been able to do what he does really well. He keeps that composure. If he gives up a walk or a hit, does not really allow it to linger too long. And, you know, we talk about mixing guys as well. Pardinho just 23, so really good to see him starting to figure out that consistency. And I definitely think if there's a calling in Buffalo, he can be a guy that can fill that. But we're enjoying him in New Hampshire as he's here right now.
Well, Chris, as you wrap up the two-week road trip, get ready for a two-week homestand, how can we follow along with all things Fisher Cats and stay up to date with your calls?
Well, we've got the back-to-back homestand coming up, so that's going to be a lot of fun. You can check the promotional schedule at nhfishercats.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Fisher Cats, and then on Facebook, New Hampshire Fisher Cats. You can find us. You can tune in as well. We've been good with tweeting out the Stream Guys link all season long. Just keep an eye on the game day graphics, but it's at Stream Guys, or you can just go to our Fisher Cats homepage on MILB.com, and under the TV streaming options, you'll find our Listen Live button.
Chris, Jared, thank you very much. Go Cats. We'll talk to you next time.
Go Cats. Guys, thank you so much. We'll talk to you.
From one Chris to another. Hi, A Vancouver, Chris Georges, good day to you. The C's 24 and 25 as we wake up on this Friday, June 7th. A loss last night in Everett that we got to see here at Funko Field. Good day to you, my friend. Happy Friday.
Tyler, how you doing? Happy Friday.
You know, we're doing pretty good here in Everett. It's been an up and down series, a game one loss where I had to, in fact, do the game remotely because my car broke down on the way from Portland to Everett. So called the game off the MILB TV feed from my couch and then took a train and a bus to get here for the game 2 days ago. And I was rewarded with a 13-3 romp, the largest run differential in a win for the C's this year, plus 10. And then last night, a closer game, but the Mississauga Ontario native Connor O'Halloran giving up 4 runs in one inning. One bad pitch, really, a 3-run home run. He took the loss. But let's talk about Connor, Chris. We got to see him last week, the pride of Sauk City and your fellow provincial neighbor in Ontario, at least in your home roots.
At least within a half hour's drive or so. But super impressed with Connor last week, super poised on the mound at the Nat. Kind of just saw the box score of last night's game, and it seemed like a bit of an uneven outing, but did have the 7 strikeouts. But I think his start at the Nat last week was probably one of the best starts we've seen. Larry could probably attest to how he was pitching in Dunedin, but really looking forward to seeing what he has the rest of the year and kind of filling in for the injured Jason Urbaez.
So the Seeds are still kicking in this first half race. They are waking up today 3.5 games back of first place Spokane. Everybody is within about 5 games of each other. And next week, the Indians are coming to the Nat to play 7 games in 6 days. So as you and I have been watching, at least last week in the press box, and of course, some great wins over Tri-City, including 3 shutouts, which we'll touch on in just a moment, the C's very much have a chance to win this first half with a little bit of help from their friends in the Northwest League. But this is a team, 1 game under .500, still in the mix with about 12 games left in the first half.
Yeah, it seems like the last time we talked, it was the league was quite close, and it's only gotten closer since then. And it's not that we've been playing so well to get back in the race or anything, but everyone else has kind of just been playing .500 ball. And, you know, we had that 6-game losing streak, but just the kind of season that we've had, we've kind of always been fluttering around .500. So you lose 6 games, follow that back up with 7 of 8 wins, and then, you know, 1-2 so far against Everett. But we're right there, 1 game under, but it definitely feels like we're obviously right in the mix, 3.5 games back, and everything's going to come down to that Spokane series. And if we can take 5 in that series, you know, who but us? Why not us to take the time?
He already gets it. It's only a half season into his first year with the season. He already gets it. Why not Vancouver? It was Vancouver versus everybody as the team motto last year. That turned into a Northwest League championship. Why not the Seas here in 2024? Let's talk about some individual performers. So we talked about Connor O'Halloran. He's looking as good as we anticipated after Larry certainly built him up, and he is as advertised. So really good stuff from the Pride of Mississauga. For the Canadians, the starting rotation went 21 and two-thirds consecutive scoreless innings last week against Tri-City, and there was a stretch of 12 straight games without allowing a homer. Of course, that came to an end here in Everett. In fact, on Wednesday night, it was a first-inning two-run homer against Pat Gallagher, who had his best start of the year to earn his first career high A win on Wednesday. But the pitching has been very good, specifically the starters.
It's nice to see Pat have that nice start, but it's really been Chris McIlvain, Ryan Jennings, Rafael Sanchez that have kind of carried this team over the last couple of weeks. And honestly, kind of surprisingly, they've been pretty decent throughout the year, but they've really kind of come into their own in these last few weeks, especially Chris McIlvain. I think he kind of started out decent, you know, wasn't pitching poorly by any stretch, but three straight dominant starts now, first three wins of the year for him. So he's allowed just two earned runs in the last three starts, six strikeouts, five strikeouts, seven in the last three. So really seeing those strikeouts come up. And I'm thinking, you know, we got him in the Santiago Espinal trade before the season. It's looking like a good return right now. ERA is under three, you know, a few more nice starts for McIlvain, and we'll probably see him up in Double A pretty soon.
So with Chris McIlvain ready to go tonight here in Everett, an opportunity for the Canadians to get back even at 500. Another guy I wanted to talk about with you here, Chris, is Desaun Brown, another Oakville, Ontario native, or I should say another Ontario native, Mississauga, Oakville, neighboring towns next to each other there in Ontario. But remember, the center of the universe is Toronto, according to many people in our fair country, not to us. We're West Coasters, and we're representing for that. But Desaun Brown, proud to represent Vancouver, even if he may be an Ontario native, but batting 270 as we wake up today. Last night, had a base hit and three at-bats. He's also working a lot more walks. He walked eight times in that five-game series last week against Tri-City, including one game with three walks. So with his speed, which has always been, along with his athleticism, the calling card, the bat has come along a little bit over the last couple of seasons, but it really seems like Brown has found his groove at the dish here in 2024.
You know the base running, you know he's going to rack up his steals, the center field defense, that's always going to be there. But especially in these last few weeks, 10 walks in his last 10 games, you know he's going to bop the occasional home run. So he's definitely kind of put it all together. And with Ryan McCarty getting the call to Double A, I think Desaun's pretty close to getting the call himself. It's, I think at this point, just a matter of a spot freeing up. But you can kind of see the light turn on a little bit, especially as a leadoff man, just seeing him get on base as much as he has. It's really, you know, nice to see that. And I think it's only a matter of time before we see him move up. So really just kind of relishing our time with Desaun, because who knows how much longer we have with him.
That's the fickle part of this business. As much as we love getting to know these guys, we want them to get out of here. The McCarty party, a very obvious example. That was a guy everybody was so excited to see get the call, a well-deserved promotion to Double A, and kind of the trickle-down effect of Michael Turconi going from the Fisher Cats to Triple A Buffalo. But then it's bittersweet, because there was nobody quite like Ryan McCarty on the roster, and Desaun Brown certainly occupies a similar place in our hearts with that 1,000-watt smile and just the great energy and vibes that he brings to the clubhouse. Lastly, Chris, let's finish with an opportunity to talk about where the Seas stand in terms of potential guys that they may need. What parts of this team may need a little bit of help going into this last couple of weeks of the first half and ready to start the second half? The Seas have pitched well. They've hit well. They're also the best fielding team in this league. But there are some, let's not call them holes, but opportunities for improvement that guys that we may talk about with Larry in just a moment from Single A Dunedin could be able to provide some assistance in.
Especially with McCarty moving up, it's a big spot in the lineup that you have to fill. So I think getting Peyton Williams back was huge. I think that's a guy that you kind of plug in the middle of the order. We saw it last year, hitting some home runs there. I believe he had seven last season in about 40 games. So definitely a guy that I think he's going to help replace Ryan McCarty, and maybe a couple other guys from Dunedin that might come up. But I think Nick Goodwin will continue to be relied upon. You mentioned the fielding being the best in the league. we kind of found this surprising. Nick Goodwin hasn't made an error yet this season. So between shortstop, second, and third, he's played most of his games at short. No errors. So definitely comforting to see that he might be able to stick at short long term. I don't know if there was probably at least some questions if he could maybe stick in the organization long term as a shortstop. But the way he's hitting, you know, we have some swing and miss with his game a little bit, but a few home runs since he's come back from injury. So I think Nick Goodwin's going to kind of be the guy that the team relies on, along with Desaun Brown, of course. But Peyton Williams definitely going to come in and kind of comfort that blow of losing McCarty a little bit. But I'm looking at Nick Goodwin to kind of take on maybe a bit more of a leadership role going forward.
Two other names I will drop on the pitching side for Blue Jays minor league fans to keep an ear and eye out for: Anders Tolhurst, who put together another scoreless inning last night. He has been a Mr. Reliable in the later innings and has also covered a couple of middle innings as needed, but typically a high leverage reliever. And the same is true for Josh Molaris. We talked about Josh Kasevich with AA New Hampshire, former Oregon Duck as well. Josh Molaris, who has, after a slow start to the year, has started to really find his role when three outs are needed late in the game. And Josh, two nights ago, another scoreless outing as well. So keep an ear out for Josh Molaris as well as Anders Tolhurst. And Chris, as we wrap up our High A Vancouver updates, the Seas are back at the Nat next week against Spokane. 7 games in 6 days as you and I get the pleasure of calling RE/MAX Canadiens baseball on Sportsnet 650 and Bally Live. Friendly reminder to those tuning in, this is a test for you as well as our broadcast assistant for the first time this year. How can people stay up to date with the Canadiens?
Well, all social media, of course, at Van Canadiens. That's what I got so far. At Van Canadiens.
But
Bally Live, of course, you know, that's you're going to have to help me out here.
No, you're doing great. You did a terrific job. I mean, at Van Canadiens is where it's all at. We all live on social media these days. Canadiensbaseball.com. If you are in the Lower Mainland next week and would like to join us, Father's Day is already sold out at the Nat, but you can get tickets to the other 6 games between Tuesday and Saturday via CanadiansBaseball.com. And we are on the flagship. That's Sportsnet 650 on your dial in the Lower Mainland, sportsnet.ca/650, anywhere on this pale blue dot floating in the vast expanse of nothing that is outer space. Chris Georges, terrific stuff as always from High A Vancouver. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tyler. Thanks for having me on.
Chris G, he will be on the air with us Tuesday back in Vancouver. And now let's go to the man on the air in the Florida State League, Larry Larson. Good day to you, my friend. The DJs, 26-28, they found their stroke a little bit ago. They have lost a few in a row, but there was a nice little winning streak to surge back to 500. How is life in the FSL?
Greetings from Jupiter, everybody, where the Wi-Fi and the baseball tends to get a little more stupider. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. You know, it's just kind of been up and down, left and right with this team as it goes in single A. That's life in the Florida State League. You don't really know what to expect on any given day. What's really continued to be impressive is this team's pop. They've produced runs with a lot of homers. However, you know, especially the last week or so, they've struggled to produce runs with hits and with runners in scoring positions. That's somewhat been the trend, but hey, as long as you get runs on the board somehow, some way, it doesn't really matter.
What does it seem to be as the primary method of scoring those runs for the DJs, Larry? I think, for example, in Vancouver, the Seas do a nice job of surging with two outs. They don't give up at bats usually with two outs on the board. They've scored a ton of runs with two outs this year. Other teams can bop their way to some runs in an inning, and other teams, it's death by a thousand paper cuts. So what's kind of the ethos and pathos of the DJs offense over this first 2 months plus?
You know, I think largely, especially over the last month's worth of games, it has been the home runs. Not too long ago, they were second in all of single A, not just the Florida State League, but all of single A in home runs, which is really impressive because, you know, the Cal League is a launch pad. Florida State League, there are these huge ballparks that, you know, are home to big league spring training. It's hard to homer in, but not for the Blue Jays, sitting at 40 homers and now 54 games. Not too shabby there. One thing I've picked up on is this team is really good with two strikes. maybe not the case lately, but that was definitely the case in May. They don't give up at bats. That's for darn sure. They find a way on base. You know, early in the season, I remember talking about this on the show. Team drew a lot of walks. Those have kind of decreased a little bit while the strikeouts have picked up. So, again, it honestly kind of depends on the week. But the Jays have been bopping a little bit. A lot of barrels, that's for sure.
Let's talk about the pitching side. JWB continuing to find the zone and rack up the strikeouts. You've got Kai Peterson leading the team in wins with 5. There's no pitcher on the Canadians roster in high A that has more than 4. And then you've got JJ Sanchez with 4 saves. And, of course, we can talk about Fernando Perez with his 3.94 ERA and 1.10 whip. So I'm just throwing names at you here, Larry, but all names that I think are worth throwing a little shine on.
Yeah, let's start with Jaron. I mean, the game notes title writes itself. Jaron whiffs Brown. Swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss when he's on the mound. Slider in the mid-80s, you just don't see a pitch like that very often. Fastball in the mid-90s. The guy looks comfortable right now. I think he really took a step forward in his last start on Wednesday here against Palm Beach. He went 6 innings. He only struck out 5, which is on the low end for him, but no walks for the first time this season. And those walks have really been the Achilles heel that has prevented him from going more than even 4 innings. In his prior 3 starts, he had struck out 8 or more, but only went 4 innings. So the guy draws a ton of swings and misses. His stuff plays in the zone. It's really about just staying in the zone on a more consistent basis. And he did that really well against a pretty solid Palm Beach lineup the other night. So, I'm getting a little concerned. There might be call-ups.
This is the Fisher Cats Radio Network. Hello again, everybody. Bob Lippman and Ian Unsworth with you from Delta Dental Stadium, where we were about to deliver the first pitch. We were less than 30 seconds away from the first pitch of the game, and a lightning bolt came in the sky, and the skies opened up, and then, Ian, in the end, we're not going to play baseball tonight.
Yeah, Bob, game canceled.
Fisher Cats and the Reading Fightin' Phils. No makeup on this because we are right at the end of the first half of the season. We're going to play the rest of this schedule with Reading the next 3 nights or next 3 days as scheduled. So we'll be with you 6:35 tomorrow.
Yep, and if you have a ticket to tonight's game, if you were making your way over to the ballpark, tuning in on the way, if you have a ticket, it can be deemed at any game of equal or lesser value. So just show up with your ticket. Or you can call the box office for more information. That's 603-606-4141. Or visit nhfishercats.com for any details or for the upcoming promotions this week.
All right. So tomorrow night, 6:35, we have fireworks coming up on Saturday night. That'll be at 6:35. Country night at the ballpark. Sunday afternoon's a 1:35 game.
Yes, and thanks for tuning in, wherever you may be. Sorry, we don't have baseball tonight, but Mother Nature said it was not in the card. So the Gatos Feroces live to fight another day. New Hampshire ends the night 30-35. Reading still 28-37. And Cesar Martin still 1 game away from tying Bobby Meacham for the winningest manager all time in Fisher Cats history. Cesar is at 203. Bobby Meacham at 204. So that one's got to wait just a little bit. But yes, we'll be back tomorrow night for a 6:10 pregame show, starting the 10-minute countdown, and then a 6:35 first pitch. For New Hampshire, we got Trenton Wallace on the hill. Another look at the
maybe
lefty.
CJ tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good point. So
we need to
CJ. So we'll double check on that. CJ or Trenton Wallace. And maybe
Lose either way.
Maybe Devereaux Harrison doesn't have to throw a second time this week. He gets an extra day of rest before the Hartford series. With Bob Lippman, Ian Unsworth signing off from Delta Dental Stadium. No game tonight. We are rained out. New Hampshire still leads the series 2-0. We'll only play 5 this week, so we'll have a real winner when everything comes down to a close. Catch us tomorrow night on the Fisher Cats Radio Network. 6:10, we start for a 6:35 first pitch. Good night, everyone.
That does it for another edition of New Hampshire Fisher Cats Baseball on the Fisher Cats Radio Network. Special thanks to Rick Brenner, Michael Nice, and our entire front office and fans for their continued support. For all Fisher Cats news, promos, and more, visit nhfishercats.com. Until next time, go Cats!